Oh, well, that has been fun and worth laughing at all day long. We are so blessed by our kids' ministry and our kids' parents. Thank you for letting us do that video. And thank you to all the kids' ministry workers and the people who worked on making that happen. So two really important things that you need to walk away from that video. Jesus was born in Jerusalem, okay? It's very important. And then, hey, I don't know if you knew this or not, but hey was really, really important to the birth of baby Jesus. Because they all knew about the hey. It's like in all of the stories that we tell our kids, apparently hey is a big deal. He had to be comfortable in the basket, crib, temple thing. Okay, whatever it was. hey, we're so glad that you're here with us today for Christmas at Kairos. Our first ever, like Chris said, third service, and we're just excited to be doing this and celebrating the birth of Christ. Like I said, it's been an amazing day so far. We've already had two amazing services, and I'm glad that you're here for our 6 p.m. service. Now, as I began planning and thinking about Christmas this year, one thing I kept drawing back to was this one fact, is that Christmas is about new beginnings. And you're like, well, isn't that what the New Year's for? Yeah, sure, but man, Christmas is all about new beginnings. Because what we celebrate Jesus' birth, right? And what is Jesus' birth? It's a new beginning. It's his new beginning on earth as he came down and took on the form of humans. It's a new beginning. It's new life for him here on earth. But then it's also a new beginning for Mary and Joseph, because they get to be parents. It is a new beginning as parents of a little baby child. And it's one thing to be a parent of a child and be given the responsibility of a child. It's a whole other thing to be given the responsibility of being the parents of the Savior of the world. Could you imagine just what that would be like? And you're told that this Jesus is going to go and do amazing things and be the Savior. And you're like, okay, well, I hope I don't mess up, right? Like, I don't screw this up. And so it's a new beginning. And so it's the beginning of life. It's the beginning of parenthood. And we celebrate that. We celebrate Jesus' life. We celebrate the life that we've been given. If we have children, we celebrate the children that we've been given. We celebrate all the new. We celebrate that Jesus was born, right? But most importantly, what we're celebrating in Jesus' new beginning, in his new life, and what this means for us is that it's our new beginning. His birth, his new beginning is our new beginning. It's a new life for us. And so we value that. And we value life. We value Jesus' life. We value life at conception. This is a baby who was born just like us. And it's this moment where God begins to shape us and form us in our mother's womb. Isn't it amazing that Jesus was born the same way that you and I were born as a man? And it's just this amazing thing that we get to experience and celebrate and kind of come alongside with Jesus as well. And I love the picture that the Bible paints about Jesus being the beginning. And it's all throughout Scripture, but I want to share with you from John 1, verses 1 through 4. And it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him." In verse 14, it goes on to say that the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. And that's kind of pointing to Jesus' birth, what we're celebrating here today. And as John's talking about Jesus and him being in the beginning, like a very familiar passage comes to mind. Probably one that you know or you've least heard of. You go all the way back to the beginning, go all the way back to Genesis. The very first words in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, what's it say? "In the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was there." And so John is kind of pointing to the fact that Jesus is the beginning. He was in the beginning. He came to save us here and now, but he has always been. He is our new beginning. And this word, the beginning, in Greek is the word arche. And it really, in its simplest form, it just means that by which anything begins to be. And so what that means is if Jesus is the beginning, he's in the beginning, and all things were created through him, by him, for him, all things begin in him. All things begin through him and by him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, kind of talks about this a little bit more. It says that he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. Everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Verse 18 says, he is also the head of the body, the church. And here's my favorite line, he is the beginning. He's the beginning, beginning of all things. And so here's what we conclude from all of this, that Jesus was the beginning. Jesus is the beginning. And really the most important thing that you and I need to connect with is that Jesus offers us new beginnings. He is the arche, right? He is that by which anything begins to be. And in him, that's when we really begin to be, really begin to step into what God intended and purposed us for, to be in relationship with him. And so, yes, we celebrate Jesus' birth, but not just because it's the beginning of his life, but because his birth, his new beginning, it means that we are all offered a new beginning in him. So Jesus' birth is like this catalyst to our new beginning. And that it's a catalyst today. It's a catalyst tomorrow. It's a catalyst to new beginnings every single day. So I want to talk about two really important beginnings in our life. The first beginning is being born, right? Like, that's pretty important. Like, because if you don't be born, like, you don't have life, you don't exist. And so it's pretty important. So we're born, we're given life, and God is who gives us life. He's the creator, author, sustainer of life. And as I think about being born and about what we looked about in Jesus in the beginning and his birth, I go back to Genesis. And it talks about how in the beginning, God created life from nothing. How he was there and the world was formless and empty. And the same is true. And he took nothing and made this wonderful creation that we get to live in. But more than that, he made us from nothing. And I'm drawn to Psalm 139. And it says this, that you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately and skillfully formed, as if embroidered with many colors in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. So I get this picture of God forming us from nothing. And as I was thinking about these new beginnings and about creation and what that looked like, my oldest daughter Delaney's newfound love of crocheting was brought to mind, and how she can take just a ball of yarn or in different colors of yarn and bring those things together to make these beautiful creations. And I got to thinking about how God does that with us. And so it's like we are this ball of yarn, and there's nothing, it's formless. Like, this is about what I could do with yarn, just crumple it up and throw it at you. But man, God, he takes nothing and he forms it into something, and he takes what's unformed and he forms it, and he weaves us together and he knits us together, and it's intricate and it's wonderful and it's beautiful. And God shapes us, informs us, and creates us into being, right? Look at that. So from this to this, and it's an amazing thing. And look at this, man. Like, this was a creation, and my daughter made this. And it was so crazy because I just asked her, like, at the beginning of the week, I'm like, hey, you know how you did the crochet stuff? I need a few things from you, okay? And she cranked it out, and look, I got a little cup, and he can drink coffee, and it's marvelous. And so this is what God creates us from nothing into something beautiful and wonderful and creative and joyful and great. And so that's what he wants for us. He brings us into being, and he brings us into being to be in relationship with him. But there's a problem, as is the problem with all of us. And we go back and we look at Genesis and Adam and Eve, like, God created us, but sin entered in. Just like God created Adam and Eve and he formed them and he created them for relationship, sin entered in. And when sin entered into the world, it began to do what sin does. It began to ruin. It began to empty. It began to turn what God created and began to unravel it. And so instead of living in what God desired us to live in, the purpose and the life and the joy and just the fullness, the abundant life that we talk about, sin comes in and empties us out. and takes all the things that God intended for us and removes them from our life. And what begins to happen as we enter into more sin and we don't find our new beginning in Christ, we just begin to unravel. And we slowly unravel until there's really nothing left. And that's what sin does. Sin is what separates us from God. And sin ruins all things, and it unravels us, and it empties us, and eventually we will live our life in sin, empty, nothing, and we will go back to nothing. But that's not what God wants. So without this new beginning, we slowly unravel, and we die, both physically and spiritually. But in Jesus, and what Jesus was sent here to do, the reason that Jesus was born, we get a new beginning. We don't have to live life unraveling and empty. We are daily formed into his likeness. And so he takes what God created and he brings us new life. Sin is there, but he says, hey, I'm victorious over that. And so you don't have to live in the identity of sin. You can live in the identity of me. And through me, you can be reconciled to the creator. And our flesh may die. We all know that we will die one day. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven with him. And that new beginning is what brings us to that place. Our spirit will be joined to him, and we will be given glorious bodies. And sin will no longer run rampant. And so this is the next important beginning, to be born again. And so where we begin life, and life is given to us by God, we are born again where we are given eternal life, life everlasting. In a conversation that Jesus is having with a religious leader in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus says this, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see, he cannot experience, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless someone is born again, he cannot experience the eternal life that God had for them. And what's really, really cool about this word again in the Greek, here's what it means. It's the word anathen. And the word anathen simply means this, to be born from the beginning. Really, when we're born again through Jesus and what Jesus did, Jesus takes us back to the beginning, to God's initial intention for our lives. And that was to be in relationship with him. Where sin came in and separated us, Jesus comes in and reconciles us. So we have these two beginnings. God gives us life, and he creates us for relationship. But then sin enters the world. And what sin does as it enters the world, it creates this chasm, this separation between us and God that keeps us from the relationship, keeps us from experiencing him in the here and now, but also from experiencing him for all of eternity. And so where God gave life, sin took life, and then Jesus was sent and he gave his life for us, reconciling us back to God, giving us a new beginning, a new life where we can begin again an eternal life. And so all of this means that in the beginning, Jesus, we have redemption. In the beginning, in Jesus, we have reconciliation. In the beginning, in Jesus, we have purpose and we have hope and we have blessing. In the beginning, in Jesus, we begin again. Will we mess up? Yeah. Will we make mistakes along the way? Sure. But the most beautiful thing about Jesus, about who he is and about who God is that he offers us new beginnings every single day. I love how Lamentations chapter 3 puts it. It says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies, they never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so what this means is these new beginnings that God has for us, his promises are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. His grace and his forgiveness and his love and his hope and his blessing and his redemption and his healing. Guess what? They are new every morning. And what that means for you and I is that we don't have to live out our days in shame. We don't have to go throughout our day living in fear or regret or worry or anxiety. We don't have to live in our sin because we are made new in him. And in him, as we are born again, every day we get to begin again and again and again, holding on to his promises, holding on to his word, holding on to the fact that he has reconciled us to God. And we just keep going to him and receiving those things in our life. Because we all mess up and we all make mistakes. And that's okay. It's going to happen, but we turn to him daily and say, God, I need more of you. God, I want to be more like your son, Jesus. Fill me up today. Make sure that I am full of love and joy and peace and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Fill me with those things daily so I can be more like you. Don't let me allow the things of this world, the troubles of this world, the burdens of this world empty me and unravel me. God, let me be filled with your love, with your joy, with your new life. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, just one more area where we are pointed to Jesus being all things. It says this in the Amplified Version. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is existing forever, who was continually existing in the past, and who is to come. I am the Almighty. And so what this means is that in the beginning, in the one who was, the one who is, the one who is to come, in Jesus, we find new beginnings in him every single day. And what we do is we take this new beginning that we have found in him, and Jesus welcomes us to walk with him through this life to the end. And because that's the reality, he is both beginning and the end. Right? He's all things. He is everything. He is purpose. He is hope. He is glory. He is love. He is grace. He is mercy. He is wisdom. He is strength. He is all things. And in him, we find our beginnings in those things. We hold on to those things. And we use those things to combat the sin and the depravity and the things that are coming against us in this world. And that is why we celebrate his birth. Because his new beginning meant a new beginning for you and I. And so we celebrate that. And so in Christ, we're born again. We're given eternal life. And once we receive that life, we're told to remain in that which we heard from the beginning. Remain in the hope that we have found. Remain in the hope that we found in Jesus. In the healing that we found in Jesus, in the restoration that we found in Jesus, in the reconciliation that we found in Jesus. We remain in that. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter what we fall into, we remain in him. And you might say, well, okay, I've received this new beginning. I've been born again, but what about when I mess that up? What about when I hurt that, wreck that, taint what God has given me, this new beginning? Here's the best truth of the day. The good news is still the good news and will always be the good news. You want to know why? Because Jesus was, and Jesus is, and Jesus always will be. He will always be that new beginning for you. You just have to keep reaching out and going to him and asking him for that. You and I, we did nothing to earn our salvation. Nothing. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to be born again, to enter into this new beginning. And so that means by grace and by mercy and by love and by forgiveness, you receive new beginnings every single day, regardless of your sin, regardless of your mistakes, regardless of the failures that you made, because you reach out to the one who is the new beginning. We aren't born again because we're perfect. We're born again because Jesus is perfect. And he was sent here to live a perfect life, to go to the cross for our sins, to, you know, be resurrected 3 days later, victorious over both sin and death. And it's a beautiful thing that we get to experience. And he offers us, with his life, a new beginning in him. And so maybe today, you find yourself maybe in one of these areas. Maybe life feels like this right now. Just a chaotic mess. You've been trying to spin all the plates, hold everything together, keep everything in balance. You've been trying to keep whatever sin has gripped your life hidden, a secret, and life is just, it feels messy. And you wake up in the morning and you dread the day and the next day and the next day because it's all just a mess because you've never really began your life in Jesus. Maybe it's this. Or maybe you began, and somewhere along the way, something happened that just took the life right out of you. Something unexpected. Maybe it was a relational thing. Maybe it was a job thing or a financial thing, and it emptied you. And then it led you to this downward spiral, and you just began to unravel in life. And you forgot about the new beginning that God gave you. And it could happen because of sin. It could happen because you were misled somewhere along the way. Maybe it was something a good friend said or a family member said or your parents said. Maybe it's believing the lies that culture spins about your value and your worth and your identity, and you feel like through this life you've tainted or screwed up or messed up entirely who God created you to be and who what he desires for you in life. Today, I want to remind you that God is a God of new beginnings. He is a God of redemption. He's a God of reconciliation. And most importantly, he sent Jesus here to do one thing, to offer you a new beginning. In Matthew chapter 1, where we get the story of Jesus' birth and how he came to be in this world, there's a moment in verse 21 where Joseph is having a conversation with the angel who came to him. He's just finding out that Mary's pregnant, and he's not sure what to do, and the angel encourages him and says, hey, everything that's about to happen is going to happen, and let me just tell you something about your baby. Let me tell you something about this Jesus who is about to come into this world. This is what it simply says. Jesus will be born to save people from their sins, period. That's why he came. His beginning, his new life, was so that you and I could be saved from sin and death. So that means no matter what has happened in life up to this moment, no matter how much you've messed up or just missed out on your God-given potential and purpose, no matter how much hurt you're feeling or how much pain you've inflicted, Jesus was born to save. He was born to bring healing and salvation. He was born so that you could begin again and be born again. And the beauty of all of this is all that it takes from you is belief. Belief in him. Belief in the fact that he is the beginning. That he was, that he is, that he always will be. Belief in his miraculous birth. Belief in his death on the cross. Belief in the fact that he rose from the dead. It's a belief in him. It's belief in the fact that he has healing. So much healing and miraculous healing that he can come along and restore relationships and pull you out of hardships and save you from addiction. It's belief in that. And then as you believe, you begin to live that out. Every day you get that new beginning and you live it out. There's a story in Matthew chapter 9 of a moment that this happened for somebody. And I love it. It says it starts in verse 20. It says there's a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years. Something she's going through here. This is a physical ailment, something that has kept her from, you know, closeness with others and connection with others, and just has kept her from living the life that God had. And we don't know all the details behind this, but this was something that was troubling her, an affliction that she needed healing from. And so she's dealing with this 12 years. And she heard about this guy named Jesus. And maybe it was a neighbor, maybe it was a family member, and came back to town one day and said, I just met the most amazing person. And he healed me. He did so much more than just heal my physical affliction. He gave me new life. And so she goes and she approaches Jesus from behind. And she reached out and touched the tassel of his robe. For she said to herself, if I can just touch his robe, that's it, not even him. If I can just touch the thing that's touching him. This is how much faith she had. She said, I will be made well. And that phrase right there, made well, that carries so much with it. It's not just made well. This is more. It's made new. It's made whole. What she's saying is, if I can reach out and just touch something that he has touched, I can begin again. And Jesus turned and saw her, and he said, your faith has made you well. What is that? Your belief in me and who I am, that I came here to save, that I came here to reconcile, that I came here to bring healing. Your faith has made you new. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith in me, in that you are now born again. From that moment, that woman was made well. What I want you to understand about this story is that it's not just about a physical healing. Yes, Jesus healed her physically, but this is a moment of both physical and spiritual healing. This is a moment where this woman was being born again. Jesus didn't just heal her physical afflictions, nor does he just come in and heal our physical afflictions, because the reality is one day we will die. And we will go to heaven. And so what Jesus is more concerned about is our spiritual afflictions, the sin that separates us from God. And that's it, our greatest affliction in life, all of us, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, our greatest affliction in life is sin. And what was Jesus born for? He was born to save us from our sin. And he's the only one who can. He's the only one who can offer us a new beginning, our new beginning. And it's a new beginning that's just, it's just a touch away. As a matter of fact, it's even better than that, because it doesn't require any touch. Like we saw in the story, all it requires is belief. Belief in Jesus to give you a new beginning. And I want you to know today that it's not out of reach for any one of us. No matter the life we've lived, no matter the things we've done, no matter how much we think we're too far gone, it is something that all of us can experience in our lives, because that's why Jesus came. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. I've talked about these beginnings, these two beginnings in our life, where we're given life by God and then we're given eternal life. And so I want to speak to two different groups of people here today. And the first one, as everyone's head bowed and eye closed, as we think about this life and the troubles and the difficulties, here's the reality. We can continue in this life to let sin run rampant, to live in sin and allow it to empty us and unravel us and bring us eventually to death, where we go through life living in sin, never feeling fully alive, never beginning a life in Jesus, and then we go from not experiencing anything that God had for us in this life, and we go back to nothing, from nothing to nothing. That's not what God has for us. So we can choose that, or we can be born again. We can enter our new beginning in Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we aren't meant to just live and die. We're meant to be born and be born again. We're meant to begin and begin again. We're meant to live and live again. And so for you today, if you would say you feel like that ball of yarn, all twisted up, all just this formless nothing, that life just doesn't make sense. No matter what you do, it just feels like everything is made worse and you can't figure out how to fix it. Well, you don't have to, and you weren't meant to. Jesus is the only one that can make that back into what God created it to be. Jesus is the only one that can reconcile your relationship with God. And so today, if your life, you would say, my life has just been a mess. I'm desperate for healing. I'm desperate for new life. I'm desperate to live a life that God had planned for me. Can I just tell you, all it takes is for you to reach out. Say, Jesus, I believe today in who you are. I believe today that you came for me, to die for my sin. And you rose again victorious over both my sin and death. And today, I want to walk in that. And I want to experience that. Today, I want to be born again. Today, I want to begin again. All it takes is belief. Go to him right now. Don't miss an opportunity to begin again today, to be born again today, to take all that mess, all that unraveling, all that emptiness, put it at Jesus' feet and let him make it new. Spend time right there. If that's you, take time just talking to your creator, your sustainer, God. Thank him for the life he's given and the eternal life that he offered through Jesus. As you continue to pray and every head's bowed, every eye closed, I want to move to those of you today that you would say, I have been born again. There was a moment in my life where I learned about Jesus, about who he was, and I believed. And I grabbed a hold of it. But you would honestly say today that there have been things in your life that have been slowly wearing you down. There have been problems that have been taking place in your life that have began to empty you out and unravel you. And maybe it was the loss of a relationship. Maybe it was difficulty with some of your kids, whether they're young or adults. Maybe it was a failed endeavor. Maybe it was your school. Maybe it was a loss of a job. Maybe it was mental health issues or physical health issues. Something in your life has begun to empty you and unravel you, and you forgot that Jesus and God are gods of new beginnings and redemption and reconciliation and restoration and resurrection. Today, I want to remind you that Jesus, he came to bring you a new beginning today and tomorrow. And so whatever that thing is for you, I want to tell you today that he can make it new. And I don't know what that looks like, but he can make it new. And he can do a new thing in your life. And he can reconcile a relationship or bring a new one into your life. In the job that you lost, he can give you a better one in your life. In those kids that you thought were so far gone, he was born to save them too. Don't forget that he's a God of new beginnings. So whatever you are holding on to that has left you feeling empty and unraveling, just give it to him. Don't hold on to it anymore. He doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to live full of grace and love and mercy and joy and blessing and purpose in your life. And you can't live there if you're dwelling on the past. Go to him today. Just simply say, God, I forgot. Because of the troubles and the trials and the difficulties of this world, I forgot that you were a God of new beginnings. And today, I want to begin again. Spend time talking to him, reaching out to him today. God, we thank you, first and foremost, for the gift of your son. We didn't deserve it, but you gave him anyway. He took our place. He began his life. And then he ended his life so that we could have life. And what a precious gift it is. So thank you. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the reminder that your son is the beginning. He is the end. He is all things. May we leave this place and never forget it. Tomorrow and the next day and the next week and next year and 10 years from now, God, every day we would look to you for new mercies, new grace, new hope, new love, new joy, because you are a God of new beginnings. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.